Good evening, guys. What an honor it is to get up here and give the Word of God out. I'd like to thank my friends for coming out. My friend Pablo from South Lyon or Whitmore. I met him at the Big Boys going in one day. And it's so unbelievable how the Lord works. He was very happy and just very cheerful, and I thought I'd like him or hit it off him. So I walked up and I said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" He starts laughing. He goes, "Really good." He goes, I said, "Why are you so happy?" You know what he said? "Jesus." And from that point on, I mean, we just struck up a bond as brothers in Christ, and it's been great. And so tonight I'm looking at a passage in Proverbs 13, verse 15. And it just says this: the way of the transgressor is hard. This is basically living a life of sin, whether you're a believer or not, a non-believer, and what the effects of life can be living apart from God. And let me stress this, is this message is directly directed at everybody, including myself. So what I've got written down and studied and notes, don't take it, you know, personally to anybody. It's just for all of us to make wise choices in the Lord. And when you make the wise choices and you get around the right people and get into the Word of God and get to a church, you can avoid all this heartache and death and just everything. Starting, if you could, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 if you have them. A lot of the verses I've already, I'm just going to read out, so I'm not going to make you turn all day to certain scriptures. But we're going to start it off with this scripture. Matthew 7, starting at verse 13, reads, "Enter by the narrow gate." This is the Lord Jesus speaking. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Basically, what we're saying here, and what the Lord Jesus is saying here, is the road that is to be taken through Him, very few find that road. They neglect that road. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. I look at as an example as like the 401 freeway or the 405 in California, where you see all these masses of traffic and cars going in one direction. That is, to me, a wide gate that everybody just follows that. Hearing Jesus' words when he says, "Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life," very few find that road. The few are, a lot of them are here tonight that know about that. Living a Christian life is in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 reads, "Yes, and Christ all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." He doesn't say you might suffer persecution or you might have some trouble here or there. It says you will suffer persecution. As an example, your family. That's the perfect one. When you come to Christ and they're not come to Christ, you're going to have a serious battle on your hands with your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle. Plan on it. Because here's the thing, is you're saved, they're not saved. How about your friends, people you hang around, your old party friends? Now you come to the Lord and they don't want no part of the Lord. That's a big deal. Now they've seen the change in you. They see that you've been born again and they're still down in the pit. I told somebody earlier today, is we're in that, when they're in that pit, lost without Jesus, they're in a pit and they reach their hand up to you. It's easier for them to pull you down with them into that darkness, into that pit, than for you to pull them up. That's where you have to be strong in the Lord. People at work. Classic example. We got a classic example here tonight, folks. One week ago, Pablo, every time I walk in there to see him, it seems like the devil is always working and working and working. Well, he had his job threatened for talking about Jesus. They don't want him talking about Jesus to a point to where one customer got up and said he'll never come back there again.
Amen.
Right?
Amen, brother.
But it's okay to mention Allah, and it's okay to mention Buddha, and it's okay to talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. But once you mention the word Jesus,
amen,
the dagger comes out, right?
Amen, brother.
Right? Nevertheless, the yoke of Christ is easy and his burden is light. Sometimes we Christians see the world enjoying pleasures of sin, and then for a season, and we envy them. We shouldn't do none of that. None of that. If we see a brother or sister getting drunk or doing drugs or laughing about it or just using foul language or representing themselves to the world and are supposedly to be a Christian, you're killing your testimony. And as Christians, we need to guard our testimony at all times. Not to say that we're going to mess up or slip up, but it's just that we need to, you know, keep, when we keep focused on the Lord and set our affections above, not on things on earth, that's a big deal. Setting our affections towards the Lord above and not on things on earth. Perfectly said. Perfectly said. This world has nothing to offer any of us. It's all temporal. If one envies the sinners of the joy they get from their sin, before long they'll be joining and participating in that sin with that person. You know, don't let a, you know, the Bible's really clear about watching, you know, if you see a brother and you do that and he stumbles, you're in some serious judgment for that. Don't let a brother stumble. Proverbs 23:17 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day long." What does zealous mean? Passionate, devout, committed, dedicated to the Lord. You're dedicated, you're passionate about it, and you're focused on it. Rather than the way of the Christian being hard, the scripture teaches us that the way of the transgressor is hard, not the Christian. Not to say we're not going to get persecuted, but it's a whole different saying right there. His life is more difficult while on earth than the life lived to the obedience of the Lord. I'm going to give you two examples. These are really good examples. Let me grab some of this water real quick here. And I've really looked into these lives. Has anybody heard of Sam Kinison or Whitney Houston? We all know who they are, right? The famous comedian and the famous singer. Well, believe it or not, Sam Kinison started out preaching, as I'm doing right now. Quite a bit was brought up in the church. His whole family was preachers. His dad and all of his brothers and stuff like that. Well, Sam Kinison down the road got weary of doing the Lord's work and decided to become a comedian and stop doing this and decided to go to Hollywood, California and pursue the flesh and be a foul-mouthed comedian. Remember, now all this time, I believe that Sam Kinison is saved. I believe he's with the Lord right now. But he started to transgress his life, drinking, drugs, loose women, foul-mouthed, and basically mocked the Lord to no end. And from what I've looked into, watching what he's done, I'm surprised he's lasted as long as he has. The Lord took him out of here right away. He wasn't serving the Lord no more. What good is he? If anything, he was making the Lord look worse. So Sam Kinison lived a short life And he was taken out of here real shortly because of, I don't I think more so, not only because of his drugs and alcohol, but the way he mocked the Lord. Lord says, be not deceived. I am not mocked.
Amen.
Be not deceived. I am not mocked. And Whitney Houston was the other one, I believe. She's with the Lord, but she's lived a hard life all her life on, you know, crack cocaine or whatever, just all that. But you see, at the age of 48, she's lived half of her life down here, which she didn't have to do. You would have stayed the course with the Lord. Not to say that she didn't, but obviously she went way off track. And you see what this abundance of life leads to. The key word here is obedience. Obedience is the best way to go with the Lord. Hebrews 8:10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. A personal relationship with the Lord. That's what it is. That's what it comes down. That's what it comes down to down here, is a personal relationship with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Not a religion, a relationship. And if you hold to that all the days of your life, you're going to live a long, prosperous, good, healthy life. Friends, God gave us His commandments for our own good. The man who obeys the word of God preserves himself from what? Evil. Right? He preserves himself from evil. Proverbs 19:16 says, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Look at that word, careless. Take heed you stand lest you fall, right? Careless in your way. We have to be on it all the time. Every day we've got to be on it. We can't let the devil get an inch on us. Because if we give him an inch, what does he do? He takes a... Thank you, Pablo. Thank you, Pablo. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. We've got to be on our guard every day. Put on the whole armor of God. Not some of the armor of God. The whole armor of God daily. Crucifying ourselves daily. Proverbs 8:36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. People don't realize when they do them sins and laugh about it and live a whole life of it, they're destroying their own soul. All they that hate me love death. When you hate the Lord, you love death, and you're going to get death. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. What sin has its consequences? When cannot sow to the flesh without reaping its harvest of sorrow? You reap what you sow. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Sin has its temporal results. Only pleasure in sin for a season. Sin includes among its consequences civil punishment. You break the law, you do bad things, what's going to happen? You're going to go to jail, right? A short life. The fear of the Lord, what? Prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. I love that verse. That verse really strikes home with that, because it's all true. Other consequences of a shortened life, many men and women have had shortened lives down here due to drugs and alcohol. Unfortunately, Mary Carpenter just lost her nephew about 3 weeks ago. Her grandson, excuse me. Forgive me for that. Her grandson. And he lived a hard life, unfortunately, due to that. At a young age of 31, I believe. And there was another girl in here that lost her brother at the age of, I think, 22. Megan Mitzi's brother, he's out. Another buddy of mine lost his son at the age of 25 of a heroin overdose. It just leads to unbelievable consequences. A drunk on the road kills himself, and then some innocent person out there. A fornicator who contracted a disease such as AIDS, they have a short life. It's enslaving habits is what they create. Wrath upon wrath. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall behold him with the cords of his sin. 2 Peter reads, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome by him, also he is brought into bondage. That's exactly what is going on with that. When you have sin and you can't get that monkey off your back, you're in bondage. I know a lot of people that fight with, it doesn't matter what sin it is, it's just they're in bondage and they're held to it. We need to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ to take that from him. When I get on my knees and I thank God for my sobriety, I really mean that. Because back in my day, you know, I partied and did all that stuff, and the next day I felt like garbage. And to ask the Lord to take that from you, that desire, is a major victory. And that's something that you should all be proud of and help others with. When somebody's down in the dumps, you don't kick them.
Amen.
You don't kick them. You help them. You help them any way you can. A lot of people, they just come off where, well, that's his problem. Let him go. Let him rot. It's his own fault. But there's some people out there that don't make it. But then again, there's some people that do make it. As an example, my brother, Bob Skelton, is a great example. I love Bob Skelton. He sets a great example for everybody. He was down that road, and I love you, brother. You said I could use you as an example. But he was down that road, and he left the church for a while. But not only did he come back, but he came back with a vengeance. He is the prayer warrior, and he sets an example. And me and him are closer than ever. He came back. He's at the Bible studies. He's here twice on Sunday. You can't get him out of here now.
Amen.
And what is Bob doing now? He's helping Tom LaBeouf out. You see how the domino effect for the Lord is good?
Amen.
Now Tom's back to church. Hey, now Tom might bring somebody next week to church that he might meet at a meeting or something like that. But that's how the power of the Lord works. When through the Lord helping others, you bring them to church. The next thing you know, they're reading their Bible. The next thing you know, they're hitting the meetings, fellowshipping with Christians. And the next thing you know, they don't got time to go get drunk. They don't got time to go get high. I don't got time for that. I got time to read this Bible, though. I got time to go fellowship with Christians. I got time to go to a Bible study. Because the more you invest in the Lord, the less time you got for the devil. The devil's time is idle time.
Amen.
Worst thing you could do is let the devil get into your head. Sitting around the house all day. Get moving. Get motivated. Get working for the Lord. Or work at your job. But get your mind off the devil putting that stuff in your head like you got to get high. Because he works on your brain. He works on your brain and he doesn't let up. He doesn't let up. Always be on guard for him. And once you do that and you submit to those ways, you'll see a totally peaceful change of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Because Jesus is the only one that could give that peace. The peace of all pieces. Sin entangles its victim, and he becomes a slave of his own lusts. As an example, immorality, if you choose to fornicate, like I said earlier, adultery or homosexuality, the consequences are AIDS, divorce. The way of the transgressor is hard. drinking. People become enslaved to the bottle. These people, they lose their jobs, their family, their home, and their self-respect. You know, see, what it does is it robs you of everything that you've worked for, your dignity, your character, and it robs you of it. And it isn't just this one, that one, or the other one. It's every one of them. Everyone. I don't care if you're a president of a bank. I don't care if you live in the slums of Detroit. I don't care if you're a pro athlete. The same effects happen. And then they become dependent on others. When you choose to drink and do drugs, this will happen. Again, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard, hard life. When the Lord says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked," the life of the sinner is one of constant turmoil, no peace, and always troubled. You ever see, you try to witness to somebody, and they ignore you, and their life is a complete disaster, and you try to help them out? They're always troubled. They have absolutely no peace. They're always doing wrong and getting into doing wrong things. And they never come to the Lord. They never reason with themselves. But look at the person that trusts in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. Listen to this passage. This is somebody that puts their trust into the Lord. Isaiah 26:3 tells us that one who trusts in the Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When you put your trust in the Lord, he's going to give you a peace you can't, that passes no understanding at all. You see what he says there? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. When you follow after the Lord, here's an example. Now, we all have choices. Everybody has choices to make down here. And if you make the wrong choice, you pay the consequences. As we all heard of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, we all know who he is, right? Lot, Sodom, and Gomorrah. God gave Lot and Abraham a choice on where they were going to live. The passage is in, I believe, Genesis. I'm not certain, but Lot was a godly man, the nephew of Abraham, who was a friend of God. Abraham was extremely close to God, that God would call him a friend. Lot was given a choice. Oh, that's it, Pablo. Genesis 13:10-13. Turn there with me if you can. If you got your Bibles, I want to read that. Let's read that. That's good. 13. I'll read 13:10-13. And it says, "And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. Everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar." Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, "After Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." See, now Lot chose to live in Sodom. And from that point on, from him making that decision, life became hard. Life became hard for Lot because he made the wrong choice. Lot had a choice: live a life for God or live a life of sin. Which is it? He chose the life of sin, living in that place. So as we see there, we all have choices. And it's just doesn't come down to drugs and alcohol. Because when you become addicted and stuff like that, and it wrecks you, there's other things such as greed, the lure of materialism, promises of happiness which you never get from. It cannot deliver the promises of it. People seek out riches down here apart from the Word of God, and they think that that's going to make them happy. But in all honesty, he that is greedy of gain, what? Troubleth his own house. You got chaos. You got people. Their minds are on their money. For the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. Those who chase after riches become dishonest. You know, after a while, they're doing anything that they can to gain this wealth down here, and then they start lying and become dishonest. Then they can't be trusted. Riches have wings and fly away as an eagle towards heaven. That's how that is. And there's no way of getting around that. Isn't that the truth? So fleeting. How about laziness? Some people think the world owes them a living, and they're too lazy to work and too proud to beg. Laziness leads to poverty and want, the Bible says. If a man don't work, he don't eat. This is another one. Sins of the tongue. What does it say in James? The tongue is a fire. You must guard your mouth. I think I had a conversation with Pablo about that, and Bob. Many Christians never learn to control their tongues. The tongue is a wicked evil. It really is. It really, it was you, Pablo, I talked to about that. We had a great conversation about that, about what your words can mean to somebody and how personally they take it. They never learn to control their tongue. Some lie, gossip, whisper. After a while, they can't be trusted. I mean, you see somebody that's walking with the Lord, and you hear them talk behind somebody's back or their gossip. It says in the, I'm trying to think what part, Timothy or Peter, about the word gossip, how bad it is. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. Presumption, presuming somebody behind their back when it's totally not true. I've come across that a few times where somebody would say something about somebody else that's totally not true, but the thought goes in your head. And then you think this way about some person, and it's totally wrong. That is bad. That is wicked. That is evil. That is bearing a false witness. That can't get no worse. I mean, because when you get that thought of a person and you think they did that and they did not do that, and this person that you're trusting is the devil, because what is the devil? The father of all lies. And he puts that in their head, okay, and then gets them to think that about that person and gossip and lies and whispers. And then they tell somebody else, and then that person will tell somebody else. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. The Lord told wicked Israel, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. Hosea 2:6. The wise person will not have to experience these hard ways of the transgressor. To know that it is not the path in life to choose. He can learn the sufferings of others and avoid the path of the wickedness altogether. You know what's cool about that is you learn from others. I can't say it enough. You know, I can't really say it enough. When I get around brothers, Bob and Dan and Ray and Eugene, Pablo, I'm always learning something from somebody else in a good way. When you fellowship with the brothers and Christians and keep around them, and you've got the same mindset, you're influencing each other. Iron sharpens iron, right? It says in Proverbs. Iron sharpens the countenance of a man. And that's very, very important. When I go in to see Pablo throughout the week, you know, we try to get a word in. We'll talk about a passage of the Bible. He'll post something on Facebook, which I'll read, and we'll discuss it. Nobody else in the restaurant knows what we're talking about because they're not in the Word. But me and him know exactly what we're talking about. Or if I discuss something before Bob goes to bed, we pray at night. And Bob will bring up the daily bread, which I love. And he'll share the verse. He will read the passage to me. And we'll discuss it. And see, the more you fill your spirit, the less you'll feed the flesh. So what you got is a battle. You want to feed the flesh, or you want to feed the spirit? Yeah, right. Who said that? Dana? Good. That's right. You feed that spirit. You feed that spirit. I don't like going sometimes, you know, just think if you didn't have the word for a day or two or three or something like that, or you miss church or you miss a meeting, and then the world starts kind of trying to haul you in again. The world tries to haul you in because it's so easy to get off track. You know, I was reading some of your posts. It's just like, you know, Lord, you know, please stay with me today. In the morning, I'll pray with Bob or something like that. Lord, we lift this day up. We just ask for your protection. We ask for your guidance. We ask for a clear mind, a focused mind. We thank you for that, Lord, because we know that, you know, we have a hedge around us, but, you know, Satan is always wanting to break that hedge down and try to trip us up somehow and make us look bad in front of the Lord. And that's why we always got to be constantly on guard. We can be assured obedience to God's commandments is the best way of life, and following in Jesus' footsteps is the best way of life. What is salvation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? Well, Pablo had a shirt on last week, which I'm going to share, Pablo, if you don't care to that. I thank you for letting me do that. He had a shirt on that says, "Are you a whosoever?" Right? Amen. Are you a whosoever? What that means is whosoever. Black, white, Portuguese, Chinese, blind, crippled, American, whatever. Whosoever. Anybody. Believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will not perish, which means goes to hell, but have everlasting life of grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a free gift. All who put their trust in that, in him. That's the whosoever. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yoke speaks, you know what the word yoke means? Yoke speaks of servitude. Servitude is a state of subjection to an owner or master when you put your whole faith and trust in him. In other words, what this means is serving me, living for me, is easy compared to a life of sin. What wonderful words. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ is easy. I mean, it's easy in a sense to a life of sin. I mean, obviously we're going to be persecuted as Christians, but when you live in sin, these people that live in sin and don't have Christ, their lives are, you know, just, with, you know, it's hard. It's just completely hard. It's something that you don't want to do. You don't want to do. And like I said before, it's easy to get off track. Prayer. Find somebody to pray with every day. Pray with somebody every day. Go meet somebody for a coffee if you got time. Or lunch. When I do that with my brothers, it's phenomenal. It really strengthens your day in the Lord. As opposed to hanging around the wrong crowd and going to have lunch and talking about a bunch of garbage all day. And so what? We're persecuted. So what? We're doing this. Jesus said, if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us before his Father. That's what I like about that. They tell him to stop preaching at the restaurant. And Pablo said, he's not going to stop doing it. We're not going to stop doing it. We're not going to stop doing it. God forbid if somebody heard the gospel and got saved. Wouldn't that be something else? Because Jesus said, you're either saved or you're lost. It's no in between. You're not going to sit on the fence. If you don't make a choice, you're going to make a choice. You've made your choice if you didn't make a choice. Right?
Amen.
You know, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Hey, death is around the corner for every one of us. As I conclude this message, death is around the corner for every one of us. Whether it be in a car accident, whether it be in a hospital, whether it be a heart attack, whether it be cancer. And I don't care what age you're at. It's around the corner. We are only a heartbeat away from eternity. But some people think eternity is way down the road. As I said, it's a traffic light mishap away of going through a yellow, thinking it's green and it's red, and you've just gotten broadsided, and in a snap of a finger, you're standing before the Lord. That's how quick it is. So if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have not come to make that decision, do not put it off. Do it immediately.
Amen.
If you have to pray with one of our brothers here after the service, please come up and pray with us. One thing the Lord hates is procrastination. I'll put it off later. I want to do this now. I want to do that now. I want to go through school. I want to party. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to do it later. Today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. The Lord says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I guess we have dinner waiting downstairs. I thank everybody for coming out. It was a pleasure giving the Lord's word out. I thank you for my brothers and sisters tonight. I pray that, including myself, I've learned a lot from this message. And Lord, hide me behind your cross. I'll pray right now. I thank you for letting me the honor of getting behind a pulpit, the honor of serving you, and the honor of giving a message out, Lord. It's a blessing, and we're strengthened right now. Our Holy Spirits are filled right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask for a blessing on this food tonight. We ask that everybody gets home safely tonight. And I wish every day, Lord, could be like today. Every day, but soon it will be. If the Lord comes back and takes us out of here, the sooner the better. If not, when we die, we'll be with the Lord forever. So, either or, but we just know that that day will come to where we'll all be together with the Lord. We thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for this time. Just again, Lord, thank you for the privilege of preaching. Bless each and every one of us tonight, Lord. Bring us back next week. I thank you for Pablo coming out tonight and bringing his friends. I pray for his relatives in the hospital with cancer. Please be with them. Pray for Don Bowman, who's in a hospital right now with his heart in the ICU. Continue to pray for Tom LaBeouf. Continue to pray for Bob Skelton. We continue to pray for Dan Chevier in that jail cell, Lord, as we're chained to him, we pray for him. We don't forget about them. And pray for everybody else who is lost out there that needs Jesus. Lead us, Lord, to the right people. Even if we could lead one soul to you, Lord, that's a victory. I mean, out of 100 people that we meet in a month or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just one person comes to the Lord, they rejoice. And we pray on that. We thank you for this time, Lord, now, and this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pablo, man. How you doing?
That's you
know, Tempe, everything you was preaching on, man, everything, what was driving, I was fire was coming up my mouth. It was Michael. Michael, he's got a prayer. He's got a prayer.
could have been his